Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. You know that special someone that usually comes with me, don't you?
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, everyone. This is Richard.
I was just thinking when I said that little intro for you, you know, one of these days, he's not going to answer.
Would I do that to you?
Of course, you play tricks on me all the time. Haven't done it on air yet, and I'm so glad of that. Yes, this little Aussie does have some devilment about him.
No.
Anyway, Richard, we're so glad you're here. And I'm so glad that all of you who hear this, either on a recording or live, I'm so glad that you are there because it's a special time for all of us to share information with one another, to ask questions, to get answers, and it is a beautiful thing. Tonight, we're going to have a guest that we have had in the past, but we're going to discuss things a little differently with the one who is called the Radiant One. And we have asked Yeshua to come and answer some questions. And there is a very special reason why I have done this, and that is because many of you, first of all, are aware that there is a newsletter that we do, Yeshua, Then and Now. And what has happened is that people in the audience have sent questions to us, and we have turned them over to Yeshua to answer. And the answers are so incredibly wonderful that I wanted to discuss a little bit about some of the things that are in the newsletter. And I offer and extend to you the opportunity to call in your questions live to Yeshua. And Richard will bring forth his answers. And I think you will be astounded as to what comes forth. I was looking at issue number 7. This was the 7th newsletter, and it touches on a topic that Yeshua discusses in many ways in different answers, and that is how he worked with energy. For certain, we are so aware of the many miracles that Yeshua performed, but in these different answers to the news in the newsletter, he talks a lot about what was used, what the mystical elements were. And this is part of a question about the present-day Nick Bundick. An individual had sent in this question if Nick Bundick was actually the reincarnation of the Apostle Paul, and he has written a book called The Messenger. Wanted to know if these things were true. And it was a very, what I find so fascinating about these answers is that Yeshua takes these answers and really delves into the complexities surrounding the question and answers the questions in a very direct manner and in a very complete manner. And in this answer, he touched again about the mystical element of not only what he believed in, but how he worked. And I'm repeating what he actually said. I worked with a great understanding of energy and how energy could be used to transform particles found in this dimension by using the mind and what you call sacred geometric shapes. I understood vortexes and the different layers of creation found upon this beautiful planet, and I could trace this all the way to Prime Creator in the center of the cosmos. Now, that's just a very small part of an answer to the question, but it has a repetition of this concept of energy, how he learned about different forms of energy as he made his way through the different temples in Egypt, as he made his way through India and how he worked during the hidden years and what he learned in these places. And we will also be coming, bringing information forth as to what he learned when he went with his uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, to Brittany. Anyway, that's a little bit of what he has given. And I just find it so fascinating because he does dwell on an aspect of his work that there is not too much discussion about, and that is his mystical side and how he understood and worked with energy. So that kind of gives a little overview, because from my point of view, this was something that is extremely important, as it is not dwelled upon so much in the writings that has been left to us. And one of the, a part of this answer is that, do the apostles remember what he actually taught? And how close are these teachings to my own personal beliefs? He also gives indication that they didn't always understand what he was discussing energetically. It was beyond their comprehension. Mary Magdalene was the one who really understood the mission, understood what he was about. And so he does discuss an awful lot about what went on between he and Mary Magdalene and their work that they did together. So this is sort of a bit of an overview. And Richard, I know Yeshua is with us. Would you be kind enough to call him in? And as you do that, connect with his energy. And I know you've done this before, but we probably have some new listeners out there in radio land, you might say. I want you to explain to the people what Yeshua's energy feels like so that they, in turn, might connect with your description and bring a picture how they envision Yeshua into their third eye so that they can connect with him as closely as they can and feel the energy of his personality. Would you do that, please?
Yes, I'd be very willing to do that. And what I find fascinating is that as you raise this subject, as has often happened with our guests, it's like they come closer to me. Their energy becomes much more powerful than I usually experience it. And so it makes it very easy to describe the nature of the energy that they send forth. It's quite interesting. And so I experience Yeshua perhaps a little to the left of my, what might be the center of my chest, pretty much exactly over where my physical heart would be located. Very powerfully, a very powerful energy, a masculine energy. And yes, it carries love and it carries power. There is a purity to the energy, but not a simplicity to the energy. It's a very rich and powerful energy, is how I would describe it. A mixture of, as I would say, love and power and a sense of the wisdom that he carries. So these things, in a way, blend together to make this very powerful, rich energy, is how I would describe it.
Thank you, Richard. And many times our guests come with a special message for those that have tuned into the radio show or listened to the recordings. Does Yeshua have a special message for those who are gathered listening to him tonight?
Let me check. He's saying that he has a message, so let's see what he has to say. My dear friends, I once more welcome this opportunity to communicate with those of you that are listening either directly or to the recording. And I once again express my appreciation for this opportunity. It is a unique vehicle that these two provide for me to be able to come forth and speak to you in this manner. There are few that understand what this skill and ability takes. There are many threads to the ability that you see expressed here by these two. Yes, there is practice, if you will, that is involved with this, but also part of the reason that these two are able to do this in this manner is that they have indeed both done this over many lifetimes, particularly Carolyn. But they also carry, at a soul level, a very close connection with me and indeed many of the others that they bring forth. And this, in its own way, assists with the ability to bring the words that I give to Richard at this time, for him to bring them forth with clarity and accuracy. And so it is a very unique platform that is being provided by these two for me to give you my words. And I wish to share with you my thoughts on where things are at, you might say, as you progress towards that very special time that awaits all of you at the end of this calendar year. I know many of you have expected that events would have begun to unfold that would lead to what is joining you at the end of this year and beyond, that is the powerful energies that will come to the planet with the December 2012 solstice. And indeed, I have given messages to Richard in particular, which have indicated that the emergence of rejuvenation would be with you by this time. And you might look at those messages and say that indeed I have been acting in a way to mislead Carolyn and Richard, and indeed those of you that await this unfolding, beginning with the emergence of rejuvenation of the physical body on your planet. And in your dimension, I can understand why you might make that conclusion. But I say to you, the journey to bring this forth has been very complex indeed. Indeed, we understood it would be complex, but there were many more factors involved with that complexity than even we had expected. And in addition to that, there have been patterns that needed to be played out. You might even call them prophecies about how this would unfold. There are patterns that have been set up over the long journey that humanity has walked with what you refer to as the dark, where they have come forth many times when attempts have been made to bring forth a golden age, and they have been successful. And it had seemed like that success was inevitable, and yet it proved not to be. And in a way, that pattern has been played out in microcosm in not only the experience of these two, but indeed the experience of many who await this unfolding. And so I say to you, have faith. Await the true emergence of that preparation process, because it will be with you quite soon. And I am also aware that some of you are concerned about how little time it seems that you have to complete this preparation work. And I will say to you that although it seems there is very little time, you will indeed find that there is in fact ample time for this process. Time in your experience seems to be linear, and yet it is not as linear as you take it to be. It is possible for time to be stretched. It is malleable. And so you will find that even though there seems to be a lot to be done between now and the end of December of this year, you will be amazed what can and will be achieved. It will be as if time has been stretched, because in a sense it will have been. But also in parallel with that are powerful forces that are aligned to ensure that all that is necessary to be done for this preparation of humanity is completed. So do not be concerned that it seems like just a moment between now and the end of this year, because it will prove to be more than ample time for what needs to be undertaken. And so my message to you is one of hope and a message about faith. Trust what you have come forth to do. Trust that the work that needs to be undertaken will be undertaken. And focus on your own preparation, clearing and healing your own lives so that you are as prepared as you can be for what is about to come forth in your experience. And so it is.
Thank you, Yeshua, and thank you, Richard. I would also now like to send an invitation to any of you who wish to ask a question directly to Yeshua. I don't know if we're having some... are we having trouble with our line? Okay. I had a message here that the conference went down, but they're fixing that. So we're getting... Call in. We'll be able to work with you on this. Myrtle from Washington is on line 3. Myrtle?
Hello, Carolyn. Good evening.
Good evening.
I would like to know how Yeshua is spending his time right now, these days.
Okay, that's a good question. So we have a lot of information about what he did in the past, but you want to know what he's doing right now. That's an excellent question. So, Richard.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Richard, can we find out from Yeshua? I suspect that Myrtle wants to know, but maybe other people want to know too. What does Yeshua do now?
Well, I could give you a smart answer and say that I'm here speaking to you. And in one sense, that is true. As you would appreciate that the dimension in which I now exist, the nature of the experience of consciousness is quite different from your dimension. You tend to experience events in the linear way, by way of linear time. And also, you tend to focus your consciousness on one particular event, you might say, at a time. Whereas the dimension that I am in what is known as the now, where past, present, and future are, in a sense, all one. And also, it is possible to be aware of a far greater array of experiences concurrently. And so you might say I'm doing many things at once. And it is why I, for example, can connect with any individual who might wish to connect with me at a given point in time, because it is relatively easy to sustain what you might consider multiple conversations at the same time in this dimension, whereas it is rather more difficult for you to do that in your dimension. And so part of what I am involved in is, of course, assisting in whatever ways are necessary with the preparation for what is unfolding in this current time. It was, of course, in preparation for this time that Mary Magdalene and I came forth with our mission some 2,000 or so years ago. And so the unfolding of this is of great importance to both of us, and this has a great deal of my focus. However, I, like all souls, are, once we cross over and have, you might say, acclimatized in some way, or acclimated, if that is the word that you prefer, inevitably turn our attention to the opportunity to learn and understand greater things. And so that is also in my focus, the opportunity to learn and progress and understand aspects of consciousness and to gather areas of knowledge that were not in my, you might say, soul's experience. And so that is also part of my focus. The other areas are perhaps less tangible for you because it is difficult for you to relate to them within your consciousness. I shall simply say that I am at this moment focused on many things concurrently. The downside, in a sense, to this is that when you have that broad array of activities in this manner, it is not possible to have that analytical kind of ability that the human being has. Your ability to problem solve, for example, is way beyond the ability of most souls, indeed perhaps any other souls. It is an ability that arises in part from your singular focus, if you will, that arises within that linear consciousness. And so there is a temptation of humanity to put those that are in what you might consider higher dimensions on something of a pedestal, and I suggest to you that you do not do that. Your souls are no less noble, no less important, no less spiritual than those who currently reside in what you might call higher dimensions. And as I've indicated, there are abilities that the human being has that those of us in these dimensions do not. So I encourage you to simply look at yourselves as being a little different, not lesser than those of us in other dimensions.
That was a beautiful answer. Thank you, Yeshua, and thank you, Richard. And I guess you weren't expecting that, were you, Myrtle?
No, but I liked the answer very much. Thank you.
Thank you for asking it. We have Brett from Ohio is on line one. Brett, can you hear us? Hi,
yeah.
Brett.
Can you hear me?
Great. I can hear you, dear. What question do you have?
Yeah, I basically got a two-part question, and part of it is for the masters that have taught others and have already explored the higher realms. Are they going to make new discoveries and be able to go even higher? And at what point will us humans be able to start?
First of all, excuse me, Brett. I'm interrupting, and I know, but I wanted, and I'm willing to pass along this information on a two-part question. But let's take the first part, and okay. I want to understand exactly what you're asking. I think what you're asking is, as the individuals who are on higher planes, what we call maybe the hierarchy, Do they learn and expand their knowledge? Is that your question?
Well, no. I mean the people, the humans that are that have already explored the higher realms from planet Earth. Are they going to notice a big difference on starting solstice of December 2012?
Now you're talking about human beings who have been incarnated and they're living now on this plane. Or you talk? Okay, you're not talking about human beings who have crossed over.
No, I'm talking about the ones that are here, and they've already, you know, reached higher states of consciousness, and have, you know, been teaching others how to do the same. Are they going to be able to go even higher when the solstice comes in?
Well, okay, I guess what the question that's in my mind is there a difference between humans who are living on the Earth plane right now? Are they in a higher level of consciousness? You're from what I understand, I'm assuming that what you're saying is you believe that there are souls here living in this dimension and they're in higher states of consciousness.
Already, yeah.
Yeah.
They have progressed. I guess my real question is when are the humans going to be able to start on planet Earth going to be able to start reversing the aging process?
Okay, so that's a different question. You want to know when human beings are going to be able to reverse the aging process. But I think this is the first part you asked was an interesting question. Are human beings in different states of consciousness in this dimension?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what Yeshua says about that.
There are many misunderstandings amongst humanity about the levels of consciousness upon which humanity might exist. You will hear human beings claim that they have reached the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, and so on. And for the most part, this is not accurate. For the most part, this is simply misconception of experience. And one might say that in many cases this is a matter of ego, because they wish to see themselves as being better than others in some sense. And I will say to you that indeed there are those upon the planet whose energy bodies are already in the fifth dimension, or more accurately, the angelic dimension, which in truth is the level that humanity was at before the fall in Atlantis, although in a limited sense. And so it is possible for the energy bodies of members of humanity to be in the angelic dimension at this time, and the numbers who are in that place are relatively small. It is the angelic dimension to which all of humanity will ascend, at least those who remain upon the planet at the time of ascension. Humanity in general will ascend to the angelic dimension. It is very easy to confuse spiritual abilities with the presence of that being on some level in being in high dimensions. It is possible, for example, for particular individuals to send an aspect of their consciousness to very high dimensions, to much higher levels and much higher dimensions than your current physical dimension, or indeed that angelic dimension that I spoke of. This is not quite the same thing as that individual being present continuously in those dimensions. It is simply the ability to communicate, to travel within the cosmos. Anybody has that ability if they develop it. And indeed, Carolyn is a very powerful example of someone who has this ability. She has the ability to project her an aspect of her consciousness well beyond this cosmos. This is unusual, but it is an ability that she has, and there are other individuals who can reach, as I say, beyond that angelic dimension. So I wanted to explain this a little because it does tend to be misunderstood. And so I will reiterate that the dimension that humanity and planet Earth will move to, including the physical expression of the individuals, will be to the angelic dimension, and the abilities that humanity will have in that dimension will be truly extraordinary. You will all quickly reclaim the ability to create, to bring forth into the physical expression anything that you choose from the background energy field, provided what it is you wish to bring forth is not detrimental to other beings. This is a proviso that has been very clearly put in place that will limit the abuses that have occurred in the past. This is a very intentional repositioning, you might say, of the possibilities. But if you stay within those guidelines, then the ability of an individual to manifest into the physical dimension will be truly very special indeed. And this is what awaits you, at least in part. You also asked the question about the rejuvenation of the physical body. And indeed, this is a necessary aspect of the preparation process. If you have understood what these two have said about the process of ascension, in essence, humanity will return to the state that it held at the time before the fall in Atlantis, and indeed go beyond this. However, the first step, you might say, is to reclaim the state which existed in Atlantis. And part of what existed then was that the individual did not accumulate negative karmic energies from lifetime to lifetime. And indeed, the accumulation that you have experienced since the fall is unique within creation. This does not arise anywhere else, and indeed it was not intended that it arise here. It has simply unfolded in as a consequence of this very dense level of consciousness and the abuse that humanity has suffered. This is not well understood, and there are many misunderstandings within humanity about the nature of karma. And so these energies need to be cleared. In addition, the physical body did not age in the manner that it does today. And so in that time, the physical body carried a perfection and continued to carry that perfection without aging for as long as the individual wished to remain in that physical body. And so this needs to also be reclaimed before the arrival of those energies with the December 2012 solstice. And so there will be an unfolding across the planet of this rejuvenation process. And the trigger will be the coming forth of a rejuvenated individual who will bring forth that template. And some of you on this call will be aware that indeed it is Carolyn that will bring forth that template. And so this will be a trigger. And once it has begun, then there will be a process by which it will unfold across the planet. These two have been given two commands that support these two preparatory steps that I have mentioned, the clearing of negative past life karmic energies and then the rejuvenation of the physical body. And so the first of these they have been working with for well over a year, and the second they are still working to bring forth, and this is what I referred to earlier. And so it is an unfolding process that will be, in a sense, controlled as it unfolds across the planet. And as I indicated, it will be quite soon that this will be in your experience.
Thank you, Yeshua. Brett did ask about the telomere. Can you give us a little bit information about the telomere and when that is going to be healed?
The telomere, for those of you who are not familiar with it, is an aspect of the human chromosome. And as cells divide, the telomere does not perfectly divide along with the rest of the cell. And so a small piece of the telomere breaks off. And this leads to the placing of a limit on the number of times that the cells can divide before they stop dividing and, you might say, die. And so this is the key aspect of the aging process. And for most people, the healing of the telomere will be part of their individual experience of rejuvenation. And so it is not as if the healing of the telomere will flow across the planet in some form. It will be part of the process of rejuvenation for every given individual as they experience the rejuvenation command, and that process is triggered within their physical body.
Thank you, Yeshua. And Brett, thank you for bringing the question to us. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Carolyn. So that means you're gonna regress your body back to when you were 20 or 25?
26, dear. That's what we got going. Thank
okay,
you.
Great. Great. You bet.
Roger from Nashville, Tennessee is on line two, please. Hi, Roger. Well, I guess that's a lot of Roger's.
He's got a deep voice, huh?
Apparently. Louis from Ottawa, Canada, is on line three. So let's see if Louis is there.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Richard.
Oh, hi, Louis. We're so glad you held on.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. What's your question,
the question
dear?
The question I would have for Yeshua is, we were given through the different messages over time that there were only three requirements to do ascension. And that even today in his initial message, he indicates that we need to prepare. So could he clarify what's the difference in terms of individual preparation we need to make versus what seems to be almost assured if we go through step one, two, and three of accepting God and having the two commands come in?
Okay, it sounds like he needs to expand a little bit on that. Richard,
yes.
I think you heard the question, didn't you?
Yes, I did. As has been expressed previously on these radio shows, a large majority of those that have been drawn to this work at this stage have been those who are incarnated cherubim angels. And those that have experienced the clearing of their past life karmic energies are focused on clearing those energies from their current lifetimes. And so, in a sense, this might be looked at as a unique process for this group. It is a process that any individual can undertake, and that is, in a sense, healing the wounds, if you will, from this lifetime. However, it is important to recognize that as the two commands unfold, as I have said before, there will be a new consciousness coming forth with the rejuvenation process. And this emergence of this new consciousness is something that those who have experienced the rejuvenation process will simply find themselves experiencing. And in a way, this represents a healing of those, what you might call psychological wounds, or more accurately, energetic wounds that have been experienced in this lifetime. In a sense, the embracing of this new consciousness will heal those wounds for the individual, just as the rejuvenation command has healed the physical body of those individuals. And so that work will be, in a manner, dealt with. There is still a requirement for the individual to understand and embrace what has happened in their lives. So what I have said is really not in conflict with those three steps that have been previously described. It was a message really to those of the cherubim who've undertaken the initial preparation and who would understand exactly the words that I used and what they meant.
Thank you, Louis, for your question, and thank you, Yeshua, for your answer. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you connecting with us. Helen from the Bay Area is on line one. Helen?
Hi, Carolyn and Richard, and thanks, Yeshua, for taking initiative and answer questions about late confusion of the date of rejuvenation. So his answer was inspiring and reassuring the confidence as well. My questions are two parts. And the first one is, through study the timeline of Yeshua's message, and in his Yeshua's 2009 New Year message about 2012, he says, "When I was on Earth 2,000 years ago, I carried a specific and a special DNA through my physical body, as did my parents." Then he said, over those 2,000 years, the DNA has had the opportunity to spread among most of the people on Earth presently. So my question is, does it including Chinese people? What other races are
people? We love you, Helen. You're not excluded from anything. But, Richard, let's see what Yeshua has to say about the DNA. We know Chinese people are not excluded. But I think the moving point there is most of the people, and everyone on Earth is not part of humanity, is perhaps something that we don't always think about. But let's let Yeshua answer that.
If I can just complete my question, is because also in his 2008, August 8 message, he said this date is one such time, such a time marker for all humanity, and China in particular, they will now seek to lead the world through cooperation. So if we can combine those messages and let Yeshua answer how the China plays, part in the ascension process.
Well, you're asking about what he said about China in particular. Would you repeat that sentence, Helen? Because I want him to address that. What was that about China?
He said in October, August 8th, which is our opening date of last Olympic game. And the message is, this date is one such time marker of all humanity, and China in particular, they will now seek to lead the world through cooperation.
Oh, yeah, that was a wonderful time when the games were taken to China. I remember the event.
Right.
Okay, let's see what Yeshua has to say about China and cooperation.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful question.
Firstly, let me address the issue of DNA. As has been said many times, the DNA which Mary Magdalene and I shared with humanity through our children has spread throughout humanity. And this, of course, includes the Chinese. However, the issue has arisen with some as to how this addresses isolated communities that, for example, have not had contact with other human beings over the last 2,000 years. And indeed, there are groups upon the planet where this is so. And what is not well understood is the power of the grid system to begin with. That is the grid system which surrounds the planet and the way in which energetic templates are placed in that grid system. Secondly, it is also not well understood how DNA is far more complex than just the physical expression that tends to be examined under a microscope. It is deeply connected in with the very nature of energetic expression. It has been demonstrated by your scientists that if you send polarized light into an area where DNA has been present and then the DNA is removed, the patterning of that DNA within the light remains. And so there is this much greater ability, if you will, of DNA, which goes way beyond its physical expression and its use for the replication of proteins and so on. And so even though these isolated races or groups of people have not directly interbred with other individuals who have, you might say, experienced the DNA through the biological process, they will in fact have had their DNA upgraded as a result of being simply present upon the planet. This is not well understood. And so I wish to take the opportunity to clarify this issue. And the reason that the words most have been used is because there are beings upon your planet who look human, but indeed are not, and they do not participate in the human DNA, and hence they will not participate in the ascension process. That is exactly as it was intended, because these beings need to be weeded out from humanity. In regard to the Chinese, as you, Helen, well understand, there is much more to the Chinese people, the Chinese community, the Chinese consciousness than is expressed by the political processes and the economic processes and so on that tend to be promoted via the news. You will recognize there are great cultural depths that exist within China that go back a long, long time. The Chinese are deeply spiritual people and in many ways deeply cooperative people, and they have a view which is way beyond the simple short-term macro or micro-economic and political issues. Yes, those things do get addressed and they do receive publicity, but the role which China plays is played with a much greater long-term view of the world than the simple short-term economic ones. And those forces are not necessarily those forces which get expressed through the political processes. And I use all of these words because it is important to understand the ways in which China is able to provide leadership within the world without seeking to be a dominant force in the way, for example, we have seen America and prior to America, other countries seek to dominate the world. And so there is this, despite the what seemed to be very restricted political mechanisms within China, and again what seems to be on some levels restricted human rights, there are also other processes at work which are less publicly exposed, which represent important spiritual leadership arising within China. And so this is rather more to what I was referring.
Thank you, Yeshua. And thank you, Helen, for your question. It was a lovely question, and we appreciate it. We are getting down to the end of the radio show. We have like 4 minutes. And Roger, who had been here earlier from Tennessee on Asheville, he's on line 3. Roger, we have, you know, maybe 2 minutes. What's your question real quickly?
Richard and Carolyn and Jessica have been fantastic. I so look forward to this. My question is this. In a lot of the websites that you see around, during that period, 2012, there are days where people talk about that rotation stops and there's going to be days of darkness and everything kind of reverses. So how does people who have had the karmic hearing done and the rejuvenation process done, and those that haven't, that little crossover period, I mean, how are people going to survive at that time? Because are people going to learn to be able to manifest or not?
Roger, got to stop your question, darling, because we only have like 2 minutes. And
okay.
Let's take part of that question. I think an important part of this question that Roger's asking is, first of all, are things all going to stop at the end of 2012? Tell us exactly what is going to happen at that moment physically in the world. Because there's a lot of talk about things will stop, there'll be days of darkness, you know, all of this, and it's kind of scary stuff. So what does Yeshua have? We have about a minute, Richard, maybe 2 minutes.
As Roger has mentioned, there is a great deal of confusion about what will unfold, and I have a limited amount of time to say what I wish to say, and that is, in simple terms, there will be 3 key days when energies will come forth from galactic center, from cosmic center, and from the, you might say, mirror image of this galaxy on the other side of the black hole at the center of this galaxy. Energies will come forth from all of these locations to undertake key preparatory work of many types to assist humanity to move forward as a result of this time period. And I will say that those that have not done the preparation will not survive that period. I do not say this to act as any kind of threat, because in essence, those that have acknowledged their Creator will receive the opportunity to undertake those second two steps. It really is the key element to all of this, is to acknowledge your Creator, and the rest will get taken care of in one form or another. And so those 3 days will be a challenging time. It is a time when things will seem to stop, and it will be a time when, for example, the solar wind will stop. And so there will be this extraordinary imprinting. It is not a time when the sun will disappear, but the solar wind will disappear. And so it will be a profound experience for all those upon the planet. And this is really all I have time to say.
Thank you, Yeshua. And Roger, we're going to have ask Yeshua to come back again. And when he does, call in and ask the rest of your questions. I think it was very exciting. And it was information that was well needed. Ken from San Francisco, I'm very sorry we didn't get to you, but like I said, we will have Yeshua come back, and please call back again. I'd like to thank everybody for this opportunity to be here, those at BBS, and especially our guest Yeshua for his beautiful answers, and Richard for your abilities and patience and time to bring this forth. Thank you, dear. And thank all
thank you,
of
Carolyn,
you.
And thank you, Yeshua. And thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Yeah, that hour passes by so quickly. Goodbye for now. Till the next time.